Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Companies to watch.
Money FM 89.3, you're in the breakfast huddle. Elliot Danker and Manisha Tank with you. Ryan's back after the headlines at 7.30.
We're putting the spotlight this week on Tesla. The company was all charged up after posting a record net income of $438 million and a revenue surge of 74% in the first quarter of 2021.
However, when you take a closer look at the numbers, the profit didn't materialize thanks to car sales. So what else is at play here?
Yeah, could it also be a bumpy ride ahead for the company due to the ongoing global semiconductor shortage? Plus, there are also two recent high-profile crashes in the US and China. I believe this was with regard to, you know, them finding that there was no one in the driver's seat for that Tesla car.
That ongoing debate about autonomous cars.
Yeah, still that debate continues of those car crashes. Adam Wong, editor-in-chief, the fifth person, is on the line with us. Adam, good morning. How are you?
Thank you for having me.
So, Adam, let's start off with the money stuff. $16 million made in the first quarter of last year compared to $438 million in the first quarter of this year. What's behind the jump in sales?
Well, if you're talking about the profit, it's mainly because of the regulatory credits that Tesla sells. So they have $518 million of that. And, of course, about $100 million in Bitcoin profit that contributed to the bottom line this quarter. But you're talking about the sales and revenue. That's because of the Model 3 has been doing really well. It's now the best-selling premium sedan in the world. So it's long been the best-selling electric car, but actually Tesla announced that it's now the best premium sedan overall in the world.
Well, that's a nice accolade to have, isn't it?
Yeah.
Tesla growing vehicle unit sales by more than 100% year over year. So that just sort of that illustrates what you were just saying. But it grew service centers by only 28%. And that means that service expansion isn't keeping pace with the volume of the vehicles sold. Is this a reason why Tesla stock sank despite its beat on both top and bottom line profit then?
I think share prices can rise and fall for any number of reasons on a particular day. So I think in Tesla's case, the stock only fell 1% after they released earnings. So it's not really much of a movement anyway. So I don't think that is the reason for the small drop in share price.
So what would you say it was?
I think it can be any reasons. For on a particular day, maybe you just feel that there are just basically more sellers than buyers for the stock on that day. So I really wouldn't read too much into why the stock is moving after the earnings call, unless it's a significant movement in the stock price.
Adam, let's talk a little bit about Tesla pivoting to selling Bitcoin this year. That contributed $101 million to the bottom line. I mean, in terms of a strategy, what's the likelihood that they are going to continue this? I mean, when you consider that you can make down payments for a Tesla vehicle in the United States using Bitcoin, how much is the cryptocurrency going to play into their business model?
I think Elon Musk has already tweeted that Tesla sold 10% of its Bitcoin holdings to prove, you know, the cryptocurrency's liquidity. But he has also said that Tesla will hold on to the rest of its Bitcoin. So we probably won't see Tesla trading in and out of Bitcoin based on what Elon has said. But we'll see what happens because, you know, Tesla or Elon can change his mind.
That's so true.
Oh, yeah. He can be a little bit, well, sometimes seems a bit flippant. Okay, let's go back to something that you were talking about right at the beginning of this interview. You talked about these emission credits, okay? So let's say Tesla doesn't have the $518 million US dollars worth of government emission credits for the quarter. They would have potentially lost money, right? So if car manufacturers don't sell enough zero emission vehicles, they need to buy these credits from others who meet the requirements, like Tesla, for example. Can you perhaps just explain these emission credits a little bit further and how all of this ties into the Tesla journey, so to speak?
So what happens is that governments around the world have started to place emission limits on car manufacturers around the world. And if you don't meet those limits, you have to pay a fine, all right? But the one way to get around the fine is that you can buy regulatory credits from other, you know, automakers that actually go under that limit. So in a way, you're trying to buy those credits because of the carbon. It's like a capital way for the capital markets to just kind of move the credits around, all right? So Tesla has been selling those credits because they definitely are under the limit, right? They're completely electric. So it's a way for, in a way you could say it's like kind of like the competition funding Tesla's business model in a way.
Yeah, I get that. So look, the thing is, the competition isn't producing as many electric vehicles right now, but you've got more and more car companies saying, we're going to go all electric by a certain point. So at what point does this plan stop being profitable? I mean, have you done some of the maths or looked at some of the forward projections?
I think when it comes to Tesla, they can't rely on regulatory credits forever, right? The law could change, competition could step up. So for Tesla to make money as a car maker, it needs to have more scale, right? The car, but you know, the car industry is an expensive, very capital intensive business. So factories, robots, labor is expensive and all these things. So if we're going to make, like Tesla's making about 500,000 cars a year, right? It's not a lot in the scheme of things. In comparison, Toyota is making 8.8 million cars, all right? So for Tesla to actually be profitable just on making cars, it really needs to scale its car production so it achieves economies of scale. All right, so that's in the long term, Tesla has to do that in order to be profitable just for making cars.
We're on the line with Adam Wong, editor-in-chief for The Fifth Person. We're putting Tesla in the spotlight, today's companies to watch. Adam, I want to talk about those crashes, one in Texas and one in Zhengzhou, China. And the question that's, you know, going around is whether or not autopilot or full self-driving were to blame for those car crashes. What are we expecting to happen here? I mean, you know, regulatory assessment for sure, but more scrutiny for the US and China? And if so, does that impact growth in those markets then?
I think this autopilot thing is definitely going to need a lot more legal scrutiny and from an ethical point of view as well. So, you know, it doesn't just concern Tesla, but the technology of autonomous driving in general. So for right now, when an accident happens, you know, something happens on the road, the liability shifts to the driver that's at fault. Right. But when it comes to autonomous driving, the AI needs to make that decision. So what happens if a person jumps in front of a car unintentionally? Does the AI swerve and avoid killing that person? But if it swerves and hits another car and causes another death somewhere else, so whose fault is it? Is it the AI or the person who jumped in front of the car? So from an ethical point of view, how do you program the AI to make that choice? So regulations, you know, legal frameworks have to be established as this technology becomes mainstream. So this is something that definitely governments around the world have to just look into.
Yeah, but, okay, from legal standpoint, and I'm glad you brought that up, in Singapore, at least, you know, a driver has a duty of care. That's the legal language behind it. So if a pedestrian is jaywalking and a driver bumps into him or bangs into him, right, then you as a driver, you've got a duty of care. Sadly, or if a cyclist, and that's why they're trying to, you know, license them to be on the roads. Sadly, the onus is on the driver. You can't potentially put that on the AI. Doesn't this change the whole, for lack of a better choice of words, this changes the whole highway code then, in that sense?
Exactly, yeah, because this is something new. So I think the legal framework has to be updated to fit all these different things that are coming up.
Yeah, definitely a lot of work to be done there.
Gosh.
A lot of work. So I'm curious about one thing. I don't even drive an electric car, and I know that my car is running on chips and more chips, semiconductors, right? So how on earth is Tesla dealing with the semiconductor chip shortage? Some regular car manufacturers have had to stop production completely.
Yeah, one thing that's going for Tesla in this sense is they don't make as many cars as other car makers out there. So in this way, they're less affected because of the number of cars, but they still had to halt production for 2 days in February. And Musk did say that, you know, Tesla was facing supply chain challenges. Okay. But he also said that particular problem has already eased. So it's not clear how Tesla actually minimized the impact of the shortage, but Musk did say, he did tweet that, you know, he thanked his suppliers directly. So it could mean that they were able to secure supply from the foundries directly and they managed to overcome those issues in the supply chain.
Just a fun one to wrap things up, Adam. And it's really about Elon Musk hosting Saturday Night Live next week. Yeah, it's just a TV show. But if you think about it, you know, it's kind of free advertising.
Yeah.
Should we care if this is going to have some kind of impact at all?
Anyone's guess. I mean, it's a live show, right? So Elon has the ability to move markets based on his tweets. I don't know. So we'll see what happens.
Oh, gosh. There we go again. The new tweeter is now Elon Musk. Huh? We already had 4 years of someone else. Well, Adam Wong, editor-in-chief, the fifth person on the line with us on Companies to Watch. Adam, appreciate your time. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.